Ladies and gentlemen.
System loading.
The Kelly Mano Show.
You're on a mission from God.
Is on the air.
Is on the air. Are there any questions before we proceed?
Radio signal from another world.
In three.
The moment you've been waiting for.
Come on, kids. Let's go.
Two.
Start the show. Start the show.
One.
I had both headphones working for like 30 seconds and I just lost it. Damn it.
It's like a leprechaun. If you look at it directly, it's going
to
go away.
Well, I reached back to get this damn pen and that's what did it. And
I blame the pen.
I'm going to try to not be OCD about it. How you doing, Hoss?
I'm good. I'm a little tired. How about you?
Yeah, I'm good. How was your weekend?
Very hot.
Yeah. Did yours end drunk in a parking lot in your old Palm uniform on a parking curb?
No. I mean, you win that battle for sure. I saw the picture.
It was a long one. So it's the Kelly Mano Show here with my best friend, Haas. Producer Gary's here and Donna Harris is here.
Hey there.
How you doing?
Doing good.
I told you I live close now. I'm just going to have you start coming over. Whenever.
That sounds fun.
Whenever. So yeah, over the weekend, if you're not on Facebook and didn't see the debauchery, it was my 20-year high school reunion, which does not seem possible.
No, it's really weird. Mine was a year ago, and it seems like I can still vividly remember graduation.
Yes.
Like it was 2 years ago, not 20.
Like, I mean, we're all around the same age in our upper 30s, but like, I don't feel like it should be my 20th reunion.
No, not at all. Did you have a reunion before this? Like, did you have a 10?
We had a 10-year.
See, we never had a 10 because my class was lazy. We had a 5.
And ooh, 5, you're not out long enough to
have
a 5.
I didn't go to my 5th because I was actually on the air at the point. So I had to miss it. And again, like 5 years, why?
Right.
Exactly.
But we didn't have a 10, so we had our 20 a year ago, and that was a pretty big thing.
Even at our 10-year, it was still like people weren't out of high school quite long enough to, like, nobody knew, like, what to do or what to say.
Mm-hmm.
But last night was really, really good. And, you know, I don't feel like a teenager anymore, but I don't feel like I've been out of high school 20 years.
True.
Like, my brain stopped aging at, like, I think, like, 26 or 27.
That's about
right. How old does your brain think you are?
My brain thinks I'm 28.
Yes.
I would say my brain thinks that I'm somewhere in my early mid-20s.
Yes. Like, and that's how I feel, too. And so,
most of the time, I would agree with you. Not necessarily today.
I don't.
Today, I feel every bit of damn near 40.
Right. Yes. You're testing that.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's funny because I grew up in Granite City, Illinois, which you guys all know I'm very proud of. And I left there when I got married and had kids. And I was the first one of any of my friends to get married and have kids. It was like I moved to another planet. And so I get back there when I can, obviously, to see my mom. But I don't really go back and hang out with my old friends because they've all moved away. And,
right.
and the ones who haven't are married and settled down, you know, with their own families. And so knowing that the reunion was coming up on Saturday night, that was more of like the formal thing. It was like everybody was going to be in nice clothes with their mm-hmm. spouses, like doing small talk. And I'm like, you know what? Really want to like sit in my lawn chair and like have a beer and like t-shirts and shorts with my friends.
Of course.
Because like my house was the party house growing up. Like it's where everybody went all of the time. And so everybody who came through my mom's like back door and like saw my backyard, like, oh my gosh, this is like deja vu. It's
yeah.
like, you know, all over again. So I had like a little gathering with my immediate friends on Friday night, and then the big reunion was on Saturday.
That's awesome.
So did you notice, and it's something that I picked up on last year when I had my 20th reunion, is that in today's world of social media, the reunions are almost anticlimactic.
No surprises.
Right.
Because you already know what everyone's up to.
Well, the thing is, I am so intrigued by listening to both of you because my situation is completely different.
Uh-huh.
I went to a small Christian school where I had like less than 20 people in my graduating class.
Oh, wow.
So we don't have like regular like 10, 20 year reunions. They just have every year when they have the homecoming game, they just invite anybody back.
Which is cool.
That wants to come back.
Well, that's neat.
That's really cool.
I mean, I had a big high school. Like growing up, I did not really think I lived in a small town. Like I knew I was surrounded by cornfields and like train tracks.
I mean, small town, yeah, but you're still suburban St. Louis.
Right. Well, you know, I'm like, oh, but we got like 25,000 people. Like that's like, you know, not that small. But then I see other parts of the world and I'm like, yeah, I totally came from a small town because there was only one high school. So that's kind of why, you know.
How many were in your graduating class?
Well, we started with 600 and something.
Right.
But then with the dropouts, I think it was like in the 400s.
I think mine was right around 550.
Yeah. And I'm glad I did the thing the night before, because you know what I realized when I got to my reunion? Because you guys know me and my friends from high school know me like to be super duper like social.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to the reunion and like flipped out because I discovered I suck at small talk. like,
did everyone break into clicks at yours?
Not really. I mean,
ours
we did.
Was. Ours totally clicked out.
Are you talking about Friday night at the formal
thing? No, Friday night was on my mom's deck, and that was awesome.
Right.
Saturday at the formal thing, we show up, and I walk in the doors, and I almost go into panic attack mode because I am terrible at small talk. And I see these people, and I'm like, I don't know what to say, and it just it seems so fake and forced, and I'm like, you know what?
Some of it is.
Like, I would go on the balcony and sit with you for 10 minutes, and it would be awesome, but this whole, like, 30 seconds holding your glass, looking around, seeing like, oh, who can I get out of this conversation with and talk to next? So I very quickly pounded a vodka and hit the
there
dance floor. And I was like, when you're on the dance floor, you don't have to talk to nobody.
True.
And so I learned that. And then, no, I mean, even though people like the cliques like sat at their own tables, like since we've grown up, like the burnouts, like love, like the palms. And like, I mean, like,
sure.
It's like one big like happy family now.
Yeah, you know, mine, I didn't get to full on enjoy my 20th.
Yeah.
And I mean that from a liquor standpoint, because I had to get up the next morning and drive to Phoenix, Arizona.
Yes.
So I had to somewhat be in control of myself.
Yes.
But what I noticed with mine was that, you know, when you'd show up, you do your lap and everyone was like, oh, hi, cordial. But within 45 minutes, it was back to like high school cafeteria lunch again. Like, there's the jocks, there's the cheerleaders, like everyone had their little spot and no one really intermingled. It was very like back to 1995 all over again.
No, we mingled with everybody. Like Granite City is such like just like a blue collar little steel town. Like we all, like no matter what clique you were in, you all grew up in the same kind of house,
right,
with the same kind of parents. There aren't any like rich neighborhoods or anything like that. And so it was fine. It was a lot of fun. And Jimmy's band played.
Oh, that's awesome.
And the pre-party the night before, I had two wine coolers and felt drunk just from those. And so then the night of the party, I had two vodkas and then I felt very drunk.
There you go.
But do you want to know what sobered me up very quickly?
A picture of you in your palm outfit?
Putting on my palm uniform, drunk in a parking lot, because that sucker is like all polyester.
Oh, yeah.
If you guys have seen the picture, that's our beautiful fight song in the background. So the Granite City Palms are like, in Granite, they were not so much now, they were like a legacy. It was like the white trash version of the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, okay? Because you grow up as a little girl, like going to these parades and like seeing these girls in these,
right,
you know, the uniforms were legendary. And whenever I left the school, I'm like, what are they going to do with all these uniforms? And so I stole one. And to this day, nobody really knew that I had one. And
I have my basketball and my football uniform.
Yeah. Well, they're like, if you go to like the Applebee's in Granite City,
there's one on the wall. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. They've got them all like framed up on the wall and stuff like that. And so as we were getting ready to leave yesterday, Jimmy's like, all right, we got to go. I'm like, wait a minute. And like, I run downstairs and he's like, what are you looking for? I'm like, my palm uniform. And he's like, are you freaking kidding me? I'm like, I'm just going to throw it in the trunk and just see what happens. Like, I might break it out. I might not. And so then two vodkas later, you know, we danced our butts off all night long. And then I looked at the clock and there was only 15 minutes left. And like the party was over. And you know how it's like loud on a dance floor and you can't communicate with anybody.
Right.
And so I was trying to get my friend Julie to come with me out to the parking lot. And she couldn't understand what I was saying and she didn't want to leave the dance floor. And which I understood because we were all having so much fun. So then I grabbed my friend Amy. I'm like, you got to come with me. And we're running. She's like, why are we running? I'm like, just run. And like we get out to the car and we're in an open parking lot. And I literally lift my arms. I'm like, pull my dress off. So she pulls the dress off over my head. I am in my bra and Spanx underwear with the butt pads. And the uniform that I have isn't even my own uniform. I don't know whose it is. It's probably like a size like very small. I was about 19 sizes too big for it, which made it even funnier. But she was able to like zip that sucker up and send me back into the reunion in my palm uniform. And
with your palms?
Yes, with my palms. And my face was like as red as my skirt because I couldn't breathe. I was like suffocating from the inside out.
Those things are not breathable.
No, they're not breathable at all.
Do you wish that you had kind of popped that on a lot earlier when you wanted to break the small talk? And
no shit, no, because I would have passed out. Like, I felt like I already warm. Like, I felt like I needed an IV, like, of water. And oh my God, I sobered up so fast. Like, when I put on that outfit, it's like the polyester sucked every ounce of moisture out of my body.
All the blood went to your brain.
I sobered up in 3 minutes. Like, I walked out the door drunk as a skunk to put on my POM uniform and walked back in the door stone cold sober, like, what the hell did I just do? You know? And then I was like, man, I hope the burnouts don't, like, kick my ass for this, or, you know, stuff like that. But, I mean, everybody thought it was, you know, fine. And it was the very end of the night, so.
Sounds like fun.
Because I could not breathe in that sucker, I'm telling you.
So I have one last question when it comes to reunions.
Yeah.
Did you notice the St. Louis stereotype the way I did?
What?
That the stereotype is people from St. Louis never leave. And those that do end up coming back. And I'm actually part of that.
Right.
Demographic. But the other thing that I've noticed is there's always that group of people when you go to your high school functions that have never left high school.
Yeah,
like people
yeah.
who in their mind, for me, there's people who still think it's 1995.
Yeah.
And they tell the same five stories. They talk about football games like it was last week, not 20 years ago.
Well, I wonder.
It's a little weird.
I wonder if they don't act like that in their normal life, but when you get around those people, because, like, in my normal life, I don't cuss a whole lot. I don't think people who cuss are bad. I just choose not to.
Right.
And I was in my mom's backyard with those people for 10 minutes, and I was cussing like a sailor. You know, and it was, like, instant, you know? And I don't know. So maybe it's more that once they get in that environment, because I thought we would sit and talk about the olden days, and we morphed into them instantly. Yeah. Like, the asshole turned into the asshole, the drunk turned into the drunk, the annoying person turned into the annoying person, and it was like, we were back in time again.
It's a very weird thing that I've noticed.
Yeah, this song came on last night, and my friend Julie said, raise your hand if you dry hump to this song.
Truth.
Pretty much everybody.
Everybody raises their hand.
Yes. And so whenever we come back, first of all, I got a funny story to tell you that left somebody thinking I was having an affair.
Okay.
And then I want to hear a little bit about your high school experiences and tell you a little bit what it was like growing up in Granite City High School. So we will do that next. We'll be right back. It's the Kelly Mano Show. The things I would do to you.
The Kelly Mano Show.
Yo, fellas, y'all ready to do this?
Yeah, what's up, guys? Yeah. What's up,
man? Boys are in effect, yeah, and it's about time. Yo, let's lift this up.
Boys the man. Boys the man. Boys the man. Boys the man.
All right, so before we get too far into this, I don't want to forget to tell a very important story. We're talking about high school reunions, what we were like in high school, things yep. like that. And I had a pre-party at my house on Friday night, and my mom was working the Cardinals game. And so I told everybody, I'm like, when she gets home from the game, like around like 11:30, we kind of need to clear out. So 11:30 rolls around, my mom comes in the house, and she is just thrilled to see my backyard filled with...
Your mom seems like the person who enjoyed having the kids over.
She loved it. Like, yeah. My house was the place to be, and not because she was, like, the mom buying beer. That wasn't it. Like, my parents really gave us a safe place to grow up.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, like, we snuck some wine coolers by them and, like, Marlboro Lights, but it wasn't like... I went to the parties where parents freaking bought their kids alcohol. My parents didn't do that, but people knew that, number one, I was always home. And number two, I was always down for whatever. Like, somebody knock on my window at, like, 2 in the morning and be like, we got to go egg this house. I'm like, sweet, let me get my shoes. So it, you know, pretty much you couldn't get in trouble at my house for just about anything. But we're sitting on the deck. My mom comes home at 11:30. And I'm like, okay, guys, we're going to start cleaning up. And my mom's like, I'm going on the boat. You guys can stay as long as you want.
Nice.
So my mom leaves. And everybody's like, sweet, but we're out of beer. We didn't bring enough beer. And so then we had to play the fun game of, okay, who's sober enough to go get more beer?
Right.
Well, the answer was me, because I had only had two wine coolers and I don't really drink. And also my friend Jeff Wallace, who is not a big drinker and was one of like the best kids in school. Like he was our homecoming king and nice to everybody and never in trouble. So he was the perfect person to make a quick beer run with. And we have a drive-through beer store in Grand, like a grocery
God
store.
God bless Illinois.
Yeah. So we go to the drive-through beer store. This is the good one that cards you. The ice house that was near Madison, the old Chinese guy.
Yep.
I was like 14. He'd sell me cigarettes. When we got older, you show him a boob and you get like beer not yeah. get carded. Yeah. But this is the good place that we go to. And so we pull up and I'm buying some of it and Jeff's buying some of it. And we're talking about like our kids and just having a great time. And the lady comes up to our window and she asks for my card. And so I hand her my credit card and she looks at it and then looks back up at me. And I immediately realize I handed her Jimmy's credit card, my husband. And it says James Mano on the credit card. So she looks at it and then she looks up at me and I said, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, I said, that's my husband's card, isn't it? And she goes, no, that's okay. And so she looks at Jeff and says, do you have your ID on you? And I said, oh, no, that's not my husband. And like the look on her face went kind of like blank.
Yeah. Because like, it's 1 o'clock in the morning.
Because it's, yeah, it's midnight. We're buying beer and we're by ourselves. And she goes, okay. And I scream, we're not having an affair. And she's like, I didn't say you were. I'm like, no, really, we're not having an affair. This is my friend. And she's like, okay, sure. No, it's not a problem. And so she goes in to get our drinks. And then this like tattooed kid comes out. He's like, hey guys, what's up, man? And we're like, hey. I like, well, I thought maybe we knew him.
Is this like a bigger freak out for you because of the small town aspect of it?
Well, not really. I just, like, I made it more awkward. It okay. wasn't that awkward to begin with until I started screaming, we're not having an affair.
Yeah, that, you know what? That tends to implicate you more than it does exonerate
like,
you.
I'm so bad at playing it cool. Like, the minute she asked him for his ID, and then I said, oh, that's not my husband. And then just the look on her face was just slight confusion.
Yeah.
And I took slight confusion for you marital whore. So I instantly went into, like, I am not having an affair. And so the tattooed kid comes out. And he's like, what's up, guys? How you doing? And we're like, we're good. He's like, you guys look way too young to be going to your 20th reunion. And we're like, how did you know? Because we don't know you. And he's like, the lady came in and said, get a load of the couple out here who claim they're not having an affair. So I'm going to come check it out. And, you
oh,
know?
My gosh.
Amazing.
Yeah. And so then we got home and, you know, so, yeah, no affairs going on. But Jimmy got a kick out of it.
That's awesome.
So, and it got me out of paying for it because then the lady wouldn't take my card.
Nice.
I was just getting a humdinger. So in Granite City, we have these things called humdingers, which are just like big fountain sodies.
Right.
So I wasn't even getting alcohol. I was getting the humdinger and somebody wanted cigarettes. Somebody wanted Marlboro Lights. And so.
Awesome.
Everybody's coughing and hacking the next day. So, yeah, no affair. But, you know, growing up in Granite City, speaking of Marlboro Lights, everybody smoked. Everybody kind of came from the same, you know, type of background. So what were your schools like? You can say what high school you went to if you want.
Sure, I went to...
And then tell me, like, where you were in your high school. Like, we're old enough that you can say, like, I was popular, I was a nerd, I was an asshole.
I don't
know
where I fit in my school. I went to school at Zumwalt South, which is, like, 10 minutes from where we're recording. Everyone knew me, and I don't necessarily mean that as in, like, oh, my God, I was totally popular. But when you're as tall as I am, even
everybody
people who
you
don't know who you are.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I kind of fit in somewhere between the jocks and, you know, the music geeks because there was this weird clique with the jocks where it seemed like there was a group of seven guys who dated the same seven girls, and it was just this weird rotation. And I couldn't I couldn't get down with that. I couldn't be like, you're my girlfriend for a month, and then all of a sudden you're dating Gary, and I have to be okay with that.
Right.
Like, that's not how my brain works. And then, you know, I loved music a lot, and a lot of my friends were either in band or whatever, so I kind of, like, straddled a few of the lines. My girlfriend was in band as well. But she was also in POM, so I got to hang out with, like, the POMers and the cheerleaders. And, like,
yeah, see,
I kind of floated
our,
amongst a lot of the groups.
Our POMs were not in band. I think one was my senior year.
I think two or three of them were, but yeah. Not many. The only reason that Jen was is because, like, me, like, I started in sixth grade and I did drums.
Yeah.
And the only reason that I got out of band was because there was some class I was taking my freshman year that was in direct conflict with band. I'm like, well, yeah. See you later, drums. I'm going to go take this class.
Yeah. Well, I mean, our band was like your typical band dorks, but like actually the Palms kind of stood up for them, like because
right.
we always did the marching shows with them, like whether we wanted to or not.
Well, see, our Palmers.
We would travel with them.
Our Palmers didn't really do stuff with the band. Like all their routines were to pre-recorded music.
They see, after I left, that's when they got rid of the baby doll outfits and went to the slutty outfits and went to pre-recorded music.
Ours were the
but our band was amazing. So even though like they were the
band
dorks,
was good too, yeah.
and we were the Palms, like we always wanted to do good for them because they were so talented.
We had a third segment of women that were called the Color Guard, and they were the ones with the flags.
Oh yeah, those were the ones that can't make palms.
Correct.
Okay.
And they were the ones that
well,
it, would.
It's true.
It's the truth.
It's the
truth.
If I'm gonna sit here and like pretend like just
no,
say
it is
bullshit,
what it is.
It's the truth.
And those were the ones in our school that would perform with the marching band.
Yeah. Well, that's how it is now.
Yeah.
But back in the day, that you know, the Palms did it, and so. We loved it though. But Donna,
all this I'm telling you is so foreign to me because
yes.
we didn't have Palms, we didn't have band, we didn't have football.
Oh,
you
wow.
didn't have football?
No, our big sport was basketball.
Yep.
Because we were in a private Christian school that played against other private Christian schools.
Football's not cheap.
And so, yeah, so it was basketball was the big sport.
Yeah.
We had cheerleading. I went to two private Christian schools. So the one that I graduated from was a little less conservative. So our skirts reached like right at our knee.
Yeah.
Not.
Right. I was going to say, at one school, were you long sleeves and full skirts?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We would, and I want to hear from Gary, too, about his high school experience, but... You know, our Palm outfits, it was always like a dare. Like, who's going to forget their bloomers tonight for the kicker team? Like, you know?
I was always trying to roll my skirt up the best that I could so I could show, like, 3 inches above my knee.
Oh, last night at my reunion, my full fat ass was hanging out the back of my... I mean, because, like, you can't fit in it anymore. And, like, I wasn't trying to be hot. Like, it was funny.
Right.
Like, I'm almost 40. I'm chubby as hell. And when I took off that damn outfit, it was like a can of biscuits exploded in the car.
Did you have Powder Puff games in your school?
No, but I wish we did because I would have kicked ass. I was such a tomboy.
Yeah.
There's a picture in my senior yearbook of me wearing a cheerleader skirt because I was a Powder Puff cheerleader.
I literally like tried to start a Powder Puff thing and none of my friends played sports and they're like, ew, no, I don't want to do a football game.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's actually documented proof of me wearing a skirt.
That's nice.
That's awesome.
No, it's not.
Yeah. I wanted to play football. I wanted to kick a little ass. I'm from Granite City. We fight for fun. So Gary, you were in California, right?
Right. I'm from Southern California originally and, yeah, I went to Rio Mesa High School in Oxnard, California. Now, remember, I'm a little bit older than you guys.
A lot older.
Yeah, so you talking about your 20-year reunion. I'm 2 years away from my 30.
Oh.
Okay, so.
Are you going to go to it?
Yes.
And so who were you in high school?
I was a very interesting dichotomy, actually. Mm-hmm. I was a starter on the football team and a starter on the baseball team, but I was also on the academic decathlon team.
Okay.
So it was kind of like. You know, I kind of hung out with both
sides. You stayed
out
of trouble, didn't you? Those kind of kids don't get in trouble.
Yeah, for the most part. For the most part, I got kicked out of
off Palms twice in the same year.
Nice.
That was horrible.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of like Haas in the fact that you could walk around school and you could ask anybody, hey, do you know Gary Weed? Yeah, I know Gary Weed. He's okay. Do you want him at your party? Not so much. You know.
See, now, that's actually... kind of like that's right where you want to be because me being like in the popular crowd and then you think like, oh, all those people are assholes and snobs. Well, guess what? They act that to their own friends too.
Right.
So it's not like I had it easy. But then there was this group of kids that like weren't popular but weren't dorks and you just floated right in the middle. And I remember thinking like, I wish I was one of those kids.
The pressure's off of them.
The pressure's off of you.
Yeah.
True. True.
See, I had in the environment that I was in.
Yeah.
I was a bad girl, but that's because it was the environment I was in.
Right.
So I got in trouble all the time for like vandalism, doing crazy things. I mean, a lot of things that Kelly, you and I could relate on.
Yes.
But because of the environment I was in, I was judged very harshly and under a microscope.
I have a feeling that you and I can probably share a lot in the fact that everyone knew who you were because the class was so small, so you never got away with anything.
I didn't.
And that was the same, like, not because the class was so small, but like I was saying, when you stick out as much as I do, like,
right.
you don't get away with a damn thing.
Right.
And if you step out of line at all, they'll crack the whip.
Isn't that crazy how it kind of affects, though, your growing up years and who you think you are because
yes.
of your pointed
it act? Makes you you very self-aware.
Yes. I was extremely loud and obnoxious. I'm sure that's surprising to you guys. But, you know, because I was so like, I was an adrenaline junkie. Yeah. Like, I wasn't having sex. I wasn't doing drugs. I wasn't, I mean, like, sure, I would drink a wine cooler, but I wasn't doing any of the bad things. So then I'm like mooning Santa Claus on the corner and vandalism. Like, that was a big thing in our class. Oh, yeah. Was like just tearing stuff up for right. no reason.
Yeah, a little past TPing. Just like, did you guys do two senior or three pranks? Steps.
Yeah, we did senior pranks every single day. Like, we had stink bombs. We had smoke bombs. We had crickets. Do, I mean, we had mice. Those. We had.
But, like, did you do like a large senior prank?
I think it was probably the 2000 crickets. I think that was like the big okay. one was just because that's all we could afford. We couldn't right. afford any like mice or anything. So, yeah, they said, I mean, it was every day, literally doing pranks with the guys in our class, at least.
Sure.
Did you guys do a big one?
We did a couple. Every Friday, we would our school would do the national anthem over the speaker.
Yeah.
And it was always the Whitney Houston version from the Super Bowl, the one that everyone gosh. Loves. So we replaced
but
it.
But that would get old, like, oh, all the dude. Time.
Yes, yes. So after 4 years, yeah, it got really old. One of our pranks was we replaced it with the version from The Naked Gun, where the guy just starts making up his own words.
Nice.
We, at one point, took an entire classroom worth of furniture and stuck it out on the football field in the exact order it was in.
That's awesome.
That's fun. That's good senior pranks. Like, you hear about crazy stuff
we
now.
We released a pig into the cafeteria.
Oh, that's great. The poor piggy.
No,
where did you get
I
the pig?
That's fun.
I don't know where. I mean, I wasn't in charge of getting it, so I don't know where it came from.
I just assumed that the pig was scared. So.
Oh, it was completely scared.
Did you guys have a lot of fights in high school?
No.
I mean, we had our fair share, but I don't think any more than anyone else. Our class was too busy humping each other. Or it's not even necessarily my class, but our school. We were well-documented fertile people at my high school.
Like, nationally known.
Yeah, like Jay Leno talked about us. And like,
because you had like a lot of pregnant girls, right?
Oh, yeah, we were total whores.
Well, how about you? Were you a total whore?
I'm not going to talk about that.
Why not?
Many reasons.
It was funny. We were sitting at my house on Friday night, and I was like, let's play a game. I'm like, Kelly's going to go around the circle and name who each of you lost your virginity with. They're like, no, let's not play that game, Kelly.
Right.
I'm like, because I can name all of it. So where I went to high school, well, I went to a little private grade school up until I got into seventh grade. And my mom's like, I think I should send you to public school so that you're not culture shocked in high school.
And that'll happen for sure.
So instead, I was culture shocked in seventh grade.
Right.
Because I came from this little bitty, you know, small high grade school. And I walk in the first day and there's fist fights and there's people that had sex already. And yeah. like, I had not even kissed a boy yet.
I think junior high might be more culture shocked than high school, just because kids in junior high are like just starting to find their attitudes and who they are, and they have no filter and give zero F's.
Yeah.
And will say what they want. Whereas, like, by the time you get to high school, you have your conscience that goes, maybe you shouldn't say that out loud.
I started Coolidge in seventh grade, and it was just seventh and eighth grade back then. It wasn't like a middle
oh,
school
really?
Thing.
Yeah.
And so one of the popular eighth grade girls who was a soccer player, I mean, this wasn't like one of the burnouts, invited three seventh graders to her party. And it was me Ooh. And my friend Holly and Meredith. And this was our first party. And we walk in, and her mom had bought everybody alcohol.
Yeah, that was a lot.
Like, eighth graders, and they're all getting drunk. And so me and like Meredith and Holly were like, we were like, what are we going to do? I'm like, this is like our first week meeting these people. We can't call my mom. I'm like, okay, we're going to pretend to drink. Just like mm-hmm. put it to your mouth and then dump it out. And then put it to your mouth and dump it out. And like by the end of the night, people are like dry humping on the couch and yep. doing headstands and coolers. And I'm like, holy shit, they're still doing the Hail Mary over Holy Family. And like, I'm in this hell?
Yeah, did that you, is a culture shock.
Did you get exposed to drugs in high school?
No. Well, I mean, we were poor kids, so like we'd like smoke a doobie in an open field or something. Like yeah. that's most of the trouble we got in Granite City was due to boredom. There's nothing to do there. There is nothing
yeah,
to do there.
It's true.
So big drugs, no. I think that it came after high school. I think that a little of it got in, but when I was in high school, no.
I remember seeing heroin for the first time and being shocked because like I thought it was expensive and it's super cheap.
But is that heroin? What you put nuts. In your arm,
it's
right?
Yeah, it's an injection one.
So somebody injected it?
It's like, I mean, that's the stuff that can get you addicted and or kill you the first
what
time.
What grade were you in?
Sophomore year.
Wow.
No. Nobody in Granite City was doing heroin in the 90s.
And I was so, like, straight-laced jock at that time.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm not going to smoke it. I'm not going to do anything. Like, I'll have a beer with you. But I was like, drugs? Yep. I don't need it.
Yep. The first time I ever saw a hard drug was spring break in college. Yeah. And I went to these guys' party at down the hall, and he put out a line of coke, and I'm like, peace out, see ya. So I tried to go home by myself and be the good kid. Got trapped in the elevator drunk for 2 hours in Mexico.
Oh.
Yeah, middle of the night, thought I was going to die.
That's crazy.
But the elevator man came in the morning and realized I was stuck and let me out.
I guess that's better than being around the drugs.
Yeah, I was like, why didn't I just stay and watch the guy snort coke? That would have been much easier than this.
Well, and I think, you know, when you're in school, there's so much temptation to be cool.
Yeah.
That, you know, as much as you know you shouldn't, I think a lot of people give in.
I smoked my first cigarette in seventh grade.
At my school, that was the problem, is we had so many people who desperately wanted to stay cool.
Yeah.
That we had, I mean, we didn't have like a big drug problem in school, but drugs were in our school for sure.
Well, because the kids you went to school with had money. Yeah. We didn't. You know how we got cigarettes? Oh, if we didn't show our boob to the guy at the ice house, then we would go into the bowling alley because it would be an unattended vending machine.
Right. Yeah. They don't have those anymore.
Nope. No more.
We'll be right back at the Kelly Mano Show. What you can do. And then a smile when they want you said, yo, Mike, check this out. See if this one moves.
Kelly Mano Show. Sassy, classy, and a little smartassy. Okay, the classy part might be a stretch. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
This water bottle is my best friend today.
Word.
I could not even get out of bed. I had four drinks over the weekend. Four. Two wine coolers on Friday night and two screwdrivers on Saturday night. And I am so hungover and dehydrated. That shows you how little I drink.
That and because you're so tiny.
I don't know what it was. I guess. I mean, I've always been a lightweight, but... my God.
So I'm going to talk to Jimmy, and I'm going to take you on a rock and roll date some night.
Why?
Because I just want to see how crazy it gets.
No. I'm so bad at
that. You, me, and one of my bands, and we're going to go tear it up.
Tell them about your 30th birthday party.
Oh, God. It was horrible. Like, I really, really tried to, like, be, like, a party girl on my 30th birthday. So I planned this big party. It was a karaoke party.
Okay.
And I invited all my friends out from all the different, like, walks of my life. And my parents came over to watch the babies.
Mm.
And my parents are from Illinois. We're in Missouri. I'm like, you guys got to spend the night because we are shutting this place down. I was like, look, I'm like, place closes at 2. And so we'll be home, like, at 3 if we don't go to an after party. So I go there, like, around 8 o'clock, and I have 3 drinks. But the bad thing was I had them all sitting down.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a karaoke bar. And so they're like, Kelly and Jim Mano. Or no, I think it was just me. Kelly Mano, come up and do Proud Mary. So I go up on the stage, sing Proud Mary halfway, barf my brains out in a trash can on stage. And they had to take me home at 9 o'clock.
Amazing.
Like, my husband was walking me in at like 10 o'clock at night. And my parents were just shaking their head at me like... the hell's wrong with you? So they're like, well, we're going home. If you guys are
That's
home,
fantastic.
We're going home. But even this weekend, just, you know, having 2 days of I guess what you would call partying, like, I'm so glad. Like, I wanted to come home Sunday and, like, put on khakis and go get dry cleaning. Like,
right.
I you know what I'm saying? Like, I loved hoosing it up. Like, that was the bomb. But I was also happy to get back to my normal life.
Oh, yeah.
Because Hoosier Kelly is not pretty. I mean, it's not. Like, it comes out sometimes. Sometimes it embarrasses Jimmy, and sometimes it doesn't. You know, it just depends on the mood that we're in. Because where I grew up, we fought all the time. I mean, it was like, especially, like, in junior high, there were, like, fights every hour. And, like, shit would be planned. Like, I'd be like, okay, after third hour, the featherweight is going to be, you know... Jeff Estrada and Brian Meyer and the right wing, and then, you know, then we're gonna have a fight here, and then the big thing was school at Lamb's Garden, which was like this poor Chinese restaurant across the school, which is where everybody chose to fight. And so I to this day, hate fights because I can remember the feeling of like, everybody rushing to the circle and like the sound of like the fist hitting the flesh. And because I saw it all the time, like, and I was talking to my friend, my other friend, Julie, and she's the same way. Like, to this day, I don't like boxing. I don't like UFC fighting. I don't like any fights at all. But when you're from Granite City, like, you just fight for fun. And it like carries into your adulthood a little bit because I think that, and it's probably like this in a lot of blue collar towns, like nobody in Granite City lets stuff roll off their back.
Yeah.
Like it's not a turn the other cheek, be the bigger person.
It's hold a grudge and get revenge.
Oh, because you will be the laughing stock if you don't get the last word or let somebody do that to you. And I remember my, well, people would use like lockers, like locks in their hands when they would fight.
Wow.
I saw a kid throw a brick at another kid and hit him.
Wow.
And that was like in junior high. Now, I was lucky because even though I was in the popular crowd, I was nice to everybody. Mm-hmm. And I can say that like with a full heart. Like I was mean to a lot of people, but there were people that were mean to me first. I was never like I was nice to the nerds. I was nice to the burnouts. As a matter of fact, I saved my friends from getting their ass kicked so many times because the burnouts would try to beat them up and then I'd be the girl in the middle. And they wouldn't hit me because A, they liked me and B, I was like 4'10 and they'd look stupid. And so, yeah, I would like swoop in and save them. But and then I remember hating fights so much that my grade school boyfriend, who I didn't talk to anymore in high school because he was like a huge burnout, but we had a class together. And him and this kid were supposed to fight at like 4 o'clock at Worthen Park that night. And I saw him in class and he looked sick. And I'm like, Aaron, I'm like, why are you doing this? He's like, I have to. I'm like, just don't go. Like I had like a heart to heart with him. I'm like, don't go to the fight. Just don't show up. He's like, Kelly, I can't not show up. I have to show up. But I could tell, like, and I remember like watching the clock tick down at home and thinking about him because he didn't want to fight, but he had to. And the guy he was fighting was huge. And at the last minute, I just got this thought in my brain and I picked up my home phone and I called the cops at 3:45.
There you go.
And I said, there's a fight out at Worthen Park. And the cops were there before it even fought. And the next morning, like, Aaron came in class and he just like looked at me and smiled and I just smiled back. And like we never talked about it. We never like,
you're such a good friend.
Well, he wasn't even my friend. He was a total burnout.
Well, that's good. I mean, but you were friends with everybody.
Yeah. And then my other friend, Brian, like him and this kid, Tony, would fight all the time. And like there was one day that Tony just would not leave him alone. And again, I'm the stupid girl in the middle. And I know how stupid that girl looks, but I can't help it because I hate fighting. So I called my mom. I'm like, Mom, pretend to be Brian's mom and call him out of school today because he's going to get his ass kicked like any minute here. So she'd call my friends out of school and like we all had each other's backs.
Sure.
Didn't have like crazy like throwdown fist fights?
This is unusual.
We had a lot of cat fights in our school.
Oh yeah, the girl fights were
like we had a lot of hair pulling and scratching fights.
All my fights were cat fights.
The only two instances that I truly remember, and one is going to be a hysterical story.
God.
I remember, I think it was my junior year, some dude walked into the school, wasn't a student, and just walked straight up to this kid who he obviously knew. The rumor after the fact was that the kid who got his ass kicked owed the other guy money, probably for drugs.
Yeah.
But just beat the living bejesus out of a kid for a good 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I can remember.
And we were all standing there like, I don't know who this guy is, but he is beating the piss out of this kid.
Yeah.
And finally, I think it was like the principals came out and broke it up and the cops came because like no one knew who this dude was. He just walked into school. Mm-hmm. And, like, I guess, like, knew when this kid's lunch period was.
Yeah.
And timed it perfect. Because, like, walked in, took 20 steps, and just beat him down.
Yeah.
The other one was, in addition to me being, at the time, 6'11 and the tallest guy in our school.
Were you a target because of that?
To one person.
Okay.
That person was a midget. Legitimately. Legitimately a
midget.
Shut
up.
No, legitimately a midget. Wanted to fight me. For a solid semester to a year, to the point that I remember.
Now this sounds like Granite City. Like this is like straight out of the handbook.
Yeah, that I remember specifically saying, "I'm not going to fight you. There's no way I win this.
Right?
If I fight you and I beat you, I'm the 7 foot tall guy who just beat up a midget. If I lose to you, I'm the 7 foot tall guy who just got beat up by a midget.
Yes.
All I can think is of he's an angry elf.
Yeah.
And I can keep thinking it. Why did he pick a fight with you?
The only thing I can think of is like, and he was one of those kids who like he had a bit of a chip on his shoulder, and I think I kind of understand
why. He may have had something they call little man syndrome.
I think that might have been part of it, but I think that
he may have had a severe case of it.
Right, and I think like in his mind, the only way I can rationalize it, he was like, I'm going to take the biggest MF-er in this school down, and everything will be cool. And the thing was like, if I was an asshole to the guy, I could see why he'd have a problem with me, but like I didn't really have any interactions with him. And when I did, I was always like, hey, man, what's up?
Oh, we would fight for nothing. Like, my best friend Jeff would get in fights all the time. Like, he got in a fight with his best friend at soccer practice. He came to my house, and he's all, like, messed up and hair. I'm like, what happened? He's like, he spit, and it got on my shorts. Huh. I'm like, on purpose? He's like, no, he spit in the wind. It came back, hit my shorts, so we fought. You know, you know, my friends Bobby and Steve got in a fight over a rainbow basketball in somebody's basement.
The only punches I threw were on a basketball court and a football field.
Yeah.
But your fight sounded really violent. I mean, were people sent to emergency rooms?
Only the big Hoosiers fought like that.
Oh, okay.
Like the really big Hoosiers. Like most of the normal kids that fought weren't like, you know, having like locks and bricks and stuff like that.
That's crazy. Like, doesn't that take it to assault at that point if you're using weapons?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it does. I mean, it was all the time. It like fights in high school were all the time.
I remember fights in middle school. But not in high school. Like, I remember, like, in elementary school, it was meet me at the bike rack after school. Yeah. And that was very few and far between. But I remember a lot of, like, as soon as we get off the bus, I'm going to kick your ass.
The first time that I thought I was going to get into a fight, and this was such a Granite City type story. Me and my best friend Julie were going to a party at Chris Janik's house. This girl named Joanna that was bigger than both of us put together didn't like her for something. And the rumor was that when we got there, she was going to try to fight Julie. Obviously, I'm her best friend. So if she's going to fight Julie, she's going to fight me too, which is not like saying very much. Okay.
Right.
I'm not trying to sound tough here. I'm just saying that, you know,
I get it.
I had her back. And so Julie and I are talking about this in my bedroom, you know, over and over. And then it carried over into the kitchen. And my dad, who like never said a word, like heard us talking, he turns off the TV and he goes, either one of you girls know how to throw a punch? And I'm like, no, not really. He's like, get in here, Chris, my brother. He's like, turn around. And my dad stood there with us and taught us how to throw a punch.
Yeah.
He's like, lean with your shoulder, use your front knuckles, put your weight behind it. Like, he like taught us. And then like the next morning, he's like, how'd it go? I'm like, we didn't get in a fight. He's like, oh, good. You know? Yeah. And then that was it. And then like, you know, 3 weeks later, I got in a fight in Billy Niepert's driveway for shotgun. You know, like, she took my spot.
Nice.
It was a two-door car, and I got out to let her in the back seat.
Were you throwing punches, and she was pulling hair at this
point? Yes. Well, you know what? I never punched her in the face. I punched her in, like, the jaw, and I punched her in the chest, and she kicked me in the crotch, and then her her fingernails scratched my chest, like, because she had really long fingernails.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we were in a two-door car, and I got out to let her in the back, and she, like, pushed me aside and got in the front seat, and I was like, oh, hell no. So then I pulled her out by her hair. You know, and I thought, like, if I pull you out by your hair, this can end here and you can get your ass in the back seat. But she didn't let it in there.
Well, you wouldn't let it end there if somebody pulled you by the hair.
Like, I never want to fight. Like, it's never like, but it's primal. It like in like where I was raised, it's primal to like get people back.
Yeah.
And it carries into my adult life. And I'll give you a story real quick. Like, and this is just one of many, because there's a lot of stuff that I don't talk about. Because I'm not proud of it. And this is one of them. And then I think Gary's got a good fight story too. But I was at a wedding. Oh, this is going to look great to my brides. I was at a wedding about 2 years ago. And the morning of the wedding, I woke up with horrible hangy pus bags in the back of my throat. Ran to Walgreens Take Care Clinic and I'm diagnosed with strep throat. So I shoot the wedding all day with like 101 degree fever. I feel like hell. I get to the reception and the bride always tells us where to sit. Like she gives us like a table name or puts it down. So I put down my marker with my new assistant who had never shot with me before. And I put my camera bag on the chair, which has like $8,000 of camera equipment in it. And a guest at the wedding who was drunk. And, you know, he's standing by the chair and he didn't realize I was the photographer because I was kind of standing behind him. And he called this girl over. He's like, hey, honey, come sit with us, blah, blah, blah. And the girl's like, no, those seats are taken. I'm going to sit over here. And he leaned down and he shoved my camera bag off onto the ground. And he goes, it's free now. And like the primal instinct in me was to kill him. But I was in my wedding outfit. And in that exact moment, he sets down his drink and he goes up to the buffet. And without even hesitation, I grab his drink, slug it back, gargle it, and spit it back in his cup, and then pick up my camera and keep shooting.
It's primal instinct for you.
I gave him strep throat.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like I didn't even think about it. I turn around and my assistant's like, what'd you just do? I'm like, I gave him strep throat. He knocked my bag over. like, he got the better end of this shit. Like, I don't have that. I don't have that in me, the roll off the back thing. And I wrote that to Libby Lou in her little, like, her diary. Like, I wrote her like a letter to open when she's like graduates. I'm like, I want you to know that sometimes I do want you to turn the other cheek, but sometimes I want you to kick a little ass. Like, it's not one or the other. There's always room for middle ground.
Do you ever walk away regretting any of that? I mean, do you feel like a regret?
Yeah, usually.
I'm just saying, when you're talking about passing on, you
strep
know.
Throat. Oh, hell no. No, if they did it to me first, like, I can't sleep till I get them back.
Gotcha.
And that was the problem with our friends, is one person would do something small and then the next person would escalate it, and they would escalate it. And then the next thing you know, my friend Jeff Hayes is jumping on my car and spitting in my face in the window.
I don't.
You mentioned something and it jogged my memory about the reunions.
Yeah.
Did you have letters that you wrote to yourself or surveys you did your senior year that you opened?
No, I didn't.
We did.
That's really cool.
Yeah. It was like, where do you see yourself in 20 years? Who are you going to be? Like, where's your life? Like, are you going to be married? Who are you going to be married to? Like, who's sitting next to you as you're writing this? Who's the most important person in your life as you're writing this? And it's crazy to see, like,
wow,
where I was versus where I am.
Yeah.
And how some things worked out exactly how I thought. Some things didn't. It was really, really, really
But for the better, right?
I would say overall.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some things that I'm like, yeah, I could have done that different. And it would have been better.
Well, I have pictures of all you guys from high school that you guys sent me that we're going to put up on the blog later today.
Were you guys ever voted most likely? Did you guys do that?
Yeah.
Like, I was always voted like most talkative. Like, in junior high, it was like most talkative and class personality, and then most likely to become a stunt woman in Hollywood.
I was most uncoordinated, just because from the well, and that was more, I think, cumulative of like my entire youth, because I grew so fast.
Yeah.
I was always the tall kid. I was never the kid who like left for a summer and came back and grew 6 inches.
Right.
Did you have that stuff, Donna?
Yeah, I was voted most likely to die in a tanning bed.
Nice. I thought at the reunion we should have worn our superlatives on a button on our shirt. You know, so like most likely to succeed is like, you know, half drunk hanging off the patio, and class body is like 350 pounds and at the buffet. And
that would have been great.
How screwed up is it that we vote class body?
It's pretty screwed
up. It really is. Like, my best friend Mandy got it, you know, because she had a smoking bod. But like, you know, you think about it as kids and like body image issues that people have. And yeah, we voted class body. And then there's an 8x10 of them in the yearbook posing.
Well, we didn't have that. You know, think about it. With those kind of
things. You guys didn't have that?
No, we didn't have. But the body image stuff
wasn't the same
back then.
That's true.
You know, and, you know, I can plainly say that I was kind of the dorky guy. I was voted Mr. Spartan.
Oh, is that like the spirit guy?
Like Mr. Overall, you know, I was
like class spirit.
Yeah. And so, okay, cool. But my freshman year, I was even worse than you, because I went to a private school all the way through eighth grade.
And then got
and then went to public high school. And I mean, I knew some of the people.
Yeah.
You know, from sports and whatever, but you know, I didn't know everybody, and my freshman year, we're gonna fight this guy.
Yeah.
You know, he was kind of a burnout. He says, we're gonna fight.
You didn't have a choice. Like, right, somebody said they were fighting you, and then next thing you knew, you're fighting after fourth hour.
Have any of you guys ever seen the movie Dazed and Confused?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The fight scene at the end when they're at the water tower.
Yeah.
And the one guy who's kind of geeky and with the burnout, and he says, I know how these fights go. They'll throw the one punch and then somebody will jump in, and all I got to do is play defense.
Right.
And that's exactly what happened with me. He was talking with his buddies and he turned around and I just popped him right in the face, knocked him down, got on top of him and started just hit. And he flipped me around and I started playing defense. And then people broke it up. And from that point on, I had some respect, because I at least showed up for the fight.
Right.
And that was that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if anybody ever wants to fight. Maybe some crazy people.
You all have thrown way more punches in your life than I have.
Yeah, I've probably...
I think punches thrown not in a sporting event, I can count on one hand.
I think I've really only been in like three fights. But
I've never been in an actual like full-on fight.
Well, one was in soccer, and then one was in college, but...
I mean, not on, like, sports. I've been in full-on brawls in basketball and football, yeah. But I mean as far as, like, I'm going to fight you and we're going to fight.
And that's different. It's never happened. Because it's still in a controlled environment.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think I got, like, one good fight left in me.
Yeah?
If I knew that it wouldn't end in, like... people hitting you with bricks or something. Like, if right. it was just a, like...
I'm to that age now where, like, I laugh when people want to fight. Like,
right.
Before yeah. we had
I'm
a
not
reunion.
Looking for it. I'm just saying, if something crosses me on the wrong day...
You're ready.
I'm ready. But I don't want it to happen.
We used to have meetups before we had our reunion, which would just be like 40 of us would go to Trailhead on a Friday night. And I remember there was one time where these guys came in and were, like, trying to get my friend, like, Won't you come outside?
Yes.
I remember being drunk enough to be like, how old are we?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We were in our 30s. I was like, use your big boy words and get a shirt that fits.
We were...
medium? You go buy that at Baby Gap?
We were at a bar in college, and something happened, and this girl wanted to fight me. And so I was like, fine. And I went to set down my beer. I was going to, like, throw it. And instead, I broke it off on this wall that was there. And she thought I broke off the beer bottle for her. And she just took off
shank.
And ran.
Nice.
Yeah, I was like,
there you go.
Shit, that was easy. My friend Billy was like, good job.
Nothing stops a fight more than crazy.
I'm like, I was just trying to put my beer down so I could fight her. But when I swung my arm, it just shattered off the end of the bottle. And I didn't flinch because I didn't want to look like I was scared, even though I was.
Right.
And the look on her face was like, oh, hell no.
I have chosen the wrong girl.
I have chosen the wrong 4'10" palm girl.
Like a spider monkey.
We'll be right back. Baby, baby. Baby, baby.
The Kelly Mano Show. The princess of the 90s is now the queen of the minivan carpool. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
I have not made myself sound too tough today.
No.
I want to be clear that the people of Granite City are tough. Me, not so much.
Nah.
I mean, like, I've got that primal fight back, but it's not like I'm... it's not like I'm feared by anyone. We'll just put it that way.
I get it.
But so I had my 23 reunion over the weekend. It was an absolute blast. I ended up drunk in my prom uniform. And what I forgot to mention was that since my husband was in the band... we were literally the last people to leave. So by the end of the night, I've been in this prom uniform for like an hour. I'm ready to go. And there was like a couple of people left, but I'm still kind of drunk. And it's time to leave. And I'm walking out the door with my palms in one hand and my purse and my makeup bag in the other. And there was a couple girls walking out with me. And there were these young college guys cleaning up the bar. And this was at a winery. So it was a private event. Like, they probably didn't know it was a reunion or if it was a meeting or a prom or,
sure.
they don't care. They're trying to clean up the bar. And I see the guy, like, tap his buddy on the shoulder and, like, point at me. Because, I mean, my outfit is very, like,
right.
old. Like, what is she wearing? And they were very good-looking college boys. And they both looked at me. I'm like, what are you looking at? I'm like, you know this is hot. And we're like, right when I said that, my friend Liz and Tracy was like, do something for him, Kelly. And they started singing the school song. I dropped all my stuff. And right for those two college boys, I did the whole school song, complete with my kicks and everything. No bloomers, just my undies. I was definitely on their Snapchat in the morning.
Oh, 100%.
Like, 100%. Look at this drunk, chubby girl in this outfit, like, dancing at 1 in the morning.
Yeah, but that's you rocking it. And that's fine. That's allowed.
And then getting the outfit on was horrible. My friend Amy deserves a medal for getting me in that thing because it didn't fit. It was 100 degrees and it was polyester and it was 9 times too small.
Ugh.
Then the minute I was outside, I had to get it off. And Jimmy's like, just get in the car. I'll turn on the air. I'm like, you don't understand. It's got to come off now.
Yeah.
And so
there's no sitting in that kind of tight polyester either.
So then my friend Meredith had, and poor Jimmy's, his band is playing. They're packing up. His wife is drunk and taking off her prom uniform in the parking lot. My friend Meredith, I got stuck in it. So she's like pulling for dear life to get it off. And I ended up riding home in a t-shirt, no bra, and just the skirt of my pom uniform not buttoned. I really wish Jimmy would have taken part in this because it's weird to talk about yourself the whole time. He's the one who had to deal with me. But
well, the crazy thing is, this is not your typical Kelly Mano weekend. You know what I mean?
No.
So this is like that big hurrah.
And I've been looking forward to it. Like it lived up to my expectations.
Mm-hmm. Good.
When my friend Julie mentioned she was coming in town, I was like, okay, I'm spending the night with you. And she's like, okay, well, I think my husband and daughter are coming. I don't care. I'll sleep on the floor. I'm like, but I haven't had a slumber party with you since we got married. So I'm spending the night with you. And that's what we did.
So fun.
We talked a lot about our high school experience, but one thing that we have not talked about was the teachers who were porking the students.
Yeah.
Which has come about. What did you guys call it in high school? We called it porking.
I mean, there was a million terms for it. That was one of them. But I mean, we used all the popular ones.
Yeah. We were stupid. We had stupid words for everything. We had our own language. We had our own. Yeah. So it was porking. And now, when you see, now it's pretty, like, prominent on the news. The first one was that Mary Kay Letourneau, right?
Yeah,
right.
There's a TV movie about it.
Yes. I was, like, obsessed with that story.
Whatever, La Flau.
Vivi La Flau. I don't know, but he looked
something
like
Filipino.
Yeah. He looked like he was about 26 in eighth grade.
Yeah.
And did you guys have teachers porking students?
There was allegedly one that was happening my senior year. And I never inquired or confronted because obviously the people involved are going to deny it.
Right.
But there was a rumor that there was a guy student who was drilling one of the girls in my class.
Donna, was any of that going on at the Christian school?
That was happening at the Christian school a lot more than it needed to. There were two instances, and both of them were male teachers. One was a male teacher and a female student, and they both, like, disappeared after the instance.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one was rumors were flying, and we're like, we know they're hooking up. We know they are. And they would swear they weren't, or she would, the student. And then a year later, they got married.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
She graduated, and they got married.
Yep. I had a boyfriend. It was, like, my junior year, and it was kind of one of my first real boyfriends because I was a late bloomer. I liked sports, and when girls were like interested in like making out with boys, I still thought it was fun to like fart with them and stuff. And it's so like
it still is, by the way.
I know, right? Like Jimmy's third date, I'm like, hi, nice to meet you. And yeah, true love ever since.
There you go.
But I had this boyfriend, we'll just call him Mitch because I'm not gonna say his name. And there was this teacher rumored to be porking the students.
Right.
Unlike on TV, we'll just call her Miss R.
Okay.
Unlike on the news you see now and these hot teachers, this, I swear to God, she had like a hump on her back. I mean, she was not cute at all. She may have been she wasn't even that young. She had a teenage daughter. And there were all these rumors going around that she was, you know, porking students. And sure enough, you know, my boyfriend started hanging out with her and he would go to her house and cut her lawn or go help her take down her Christmas decorations. And this was not unusual. A lot of these guys would do this. Like there was a couple of boys that would go over and do that for her.
That's very Mrs. Robinson.
I will never forget leaving. He played a sport that I also did that involved ice and we were at the same place at the same time. And we left that morning practice and he was going to her house to mow her lawn. And then we were meeting back up and we met back up and he was in different clothes and he had showered. And I knew that he had come straight from her house.
Well, maybe he was sweating from mowing the lawn.
Exactly. I'm like, why are you in different clothes and why do you shower? He's like, I just jumped in the shower over there because I was sweaty from mowing the lawn. And he made me feel like I was crazy. Like every time I would bring this stuff up, he made me feel like I was absolutely insane. And it was like a little 3-month high school relationship. It wasn't anything really long term. But about 3 years after high school, we used to go to my grandma's every Sunday morning, and she would cook for my whole family. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting in a rocking chair, eating dumplings, like reading the Granite City Press Record. And on the front page is this teacher being kicked out of the school for inappropriate relationships with students. And then, because they're no longer minors, it went on to list the students involved. And guess whose name was on the list?
Now, inappropriate relationships. Are they claiming that she slept with these people or just inappropriate relationships?
No, I mean, poof, she's gone. But I jumped out of that rocking chair. I'm like, damn it, I was right. And my whole family was like, what are you talking about? And then, like, I didn't even have the breath to talk, you know? And, like, I wanted to find him 5 years later and be like, I knew you were porking that ugly teacher.
But he may not have been. And that's kind of what I was asking is, I would say even if he wasn't sleeping with her, the fact that he's at her house mowing her lawn and taking a shower at her house.
Yeah.
That to me is inappropriate enough as a teacher.
That's
like, that
super
crosses,
inappropriate.
That crosses the teacher student line.
No, I mean, it was, however the article was written, it was very clear.
They were banging.
Yes. And I don't think, I don't think there was a mugshot involved. I think it was, she had to disappear. Like, she had to go to a different school district. She had to go.
She's not going to a different school district. She's done. That's a sex offender.
I don't know how it came about. I just remember there was like three people mentioned, and the middle one was my boyfriend.
Wow.
For like 3 months. Yeah, I was right the whole time.
I remember when I was in high school, there was a teacher that I wish was sleeping with students.
you pervert.
We all, like, it was common knowledge, and every dude would take her class because it was a well-known fact that she would wear leather mini skirts and teach from sitting on top of a stool. And everyone wondered why all the guys were in the top row, like, slouching down in their chairs.
Don't they have dress codes? Like, can your teachers dress like that?
They do have dress codes.
It wasn't like, I mean, I'm not talking like she looked like she was coming from a Kiss concert.
Yeah.
It wasn't like the skirt ended here, but like, it may have ended like a little past mid thigh.
Well, you're 16, 17. How old do you think she was at that time?
I would say she was realistically probably late 30s.
Mm.
She was a good looking teacher, though.
Do you think
she was hot?
Do you think it is dangerous to take kids fresh out of college and stick them in as high school teachers at,
yes.
at
yes.
23, 24 years
Absolutely.
Old?
My husband was a high school teacher at like 21 years old.
Wow.
And one of the first things he did was sit down in the classroom like a student as the kids came in to pretend to be a student because he thought it was hilarious.
Oh, well,
he tricked them all. But the thing I would always say to him is, like, don't ever
go anywhere.
Be in a room with a girl ever by yourself.
Yep.
I was,
or more than one girl.
Yes.
I was 20 because in the state of Missouri, once you have, I think it's 50 credit hours in college,
mm-hmm.
you can start substitute teaching. And my mom was a teacher, and so she got me on the sub list because it's good money to sub.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was 20 years old. Substitute teaching for high school seniors.
That's messed up.
It is.
And I would catch myself like, ah, oh, girl's hot. No. Because like, just instinctively, you're like, damn, that girl's good looking.
Right.
And she's only 2 years younger than me.
Right. Yeah.
But technically, I'm her teacher today.
My first job out of college
I was actually in shape then, so they were kind of like, sweet on me too.
I was I knew sign language. I was fluent, and I worked as an interpreter right after school because I didn't have a job in radio yet. And I worked in the Belleville School District for the deaf students, and it, like, people would bust me for hall pass. Like, nobody was hitting on me,
yeah.
but the teacher's like, hey, where's your hall pass? I'm like, I'm 22.
You know, nice.
Get away. Like, I know I'm wearing a backpack, but I work here. But since I wasn't like a regular teacher, like in the, you know, meetings and stuff like that. Would you guys go back to high school? Was it like a fond memory?
Yeah, I had a great time.
I don't think I would go back, but I'm glad that it went the way it did. But I'm not, I'll take the no responsibility again.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Is there anything that you would change from high school?
Yeah, I would have been tougher sooner. I took way too much shit for a long time because I was just, you know, just trying to please everybody.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until I was a little bit older that I realized even like some of the girls or the guys that were bullies, I never really saw them fight. I just saw them intimidate people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like the loudest barkers like never actually got in fights. And I remember thinking like all those times, like I probably had as much fighting experience as she did. Like I totally could have stuck up for my friend here or stuck up for my friend there.
Right.
You know, and stuff like that. But for the most part, Like I said, I got along with everybody. I was nice to everybody. I wasn't mean to anybody unless they were mean to me or my family. And it was a good experience. And the reunion was so much fun because, I mean, well, yes, the cliques like sat at their own table. Like everybody intermingled. Everybody danced together. Cool. I have a bunch of pictures on Facebook. And I will definitely put some at KellyMano.com later today.
Would you have changed anything?
I wouldn't go back, but I would change. If I had to go back, I'd be nicer.
Yeah,
I wasn't nice, so I'd be like that person who's calling up Steve Buscemi and he's putting lipstick right on. And then,
man, I'm glad I called that guy.
Yeah,
the only thing I would have done is I let my ego get the best of me.
Yeah,
when it came to sports, like my sophomore year of the 64 teams in the NCAA tournament, 48 of them were already recruiting me.
Yeah,
so I just kind of put it on cruise control. Mm-hmm. I was like, I got this. I'm going Division I.
Yeah,
and I really kind of stopped training.
Yeah.
And it cost me. I would have done that different. But as far as like how I acted and things like that, I wouldn't change it. And I would go back. I loved high school. I had a fantastic high school experience.
Yeah. I had a good one, but, you know, like I said, I was a little too loyal. You know, like I was like the loyal puppy dog that would take almost anything and still be your friend. But then it wasn't until I got, I'd say like my junior or senior year that I finally was like, you know what? I don't have to be everybody's bitch and I can do whatever I want. So Gary?
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I would go back and I would not try to please everybody.
Right.
I wanted to be everybody's buddy.
Right.
And so it cost me in a lot of different places too.
Yeah.
You know, I was trying to please coaches in baseball and, you know, and all of that. So I'm definitely like that for sure.
Yeah. I wouldn't change anything. I had great friends. And a lot of them have gone to do great things. I mean, we've got, you know, in my group of friends, we've got, you know, firefighters and teachers and principals and lawyers. And, you know, we get together on Friday night and I'm thinking it's not going to be the same because they're all so mature now. And I'm like, shit, no. You're all
it's again. Always fun. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you've got me who like has not changed at all. And so if you were at my reunion and I did not get to say hi to you, I'm very sorry because we had a lot of listeners of the show there. But I had like a 20-minute panic attack because I didn't know how to make small talk, and then I pounded a drink and danced all night. So, we're going to post pictures later today of all of us in high school at KellyMano.com. So if you want to see me, Donna, Gary, and Haas, go to KellyMano.com later today, and you can check that out. Anything anyone else want to plug?
No, Donna, I'm good.
You good?
I'm good.
You good? You're going to go home and get your kitchen cabinets all taken care of?
Yep.
Nice.
Yes, we should have pictures of the studio next week.
Hooray.
We are still sitting on the floor.
It's looking good, though.
It is.
It is coming together nicely.
I don't want to post any more pictures until it's done. I'm getting excited. So thank you so much for listening. If you love the show, share the show. If you're new to the podcast, we always ask you to do that because otherwise people aren't going to listen. We have a lot of fun with you every week, and we will be back later this week when, I don't know, maybe Wednesday, Thursday.
Sure.
Whenever Haas and I feel like getting together.
Yeah.
So until then, be good, have fun, stay sassy, classy, and a little bit smart-assy. Haas?
You know what I like about high school girls?
What?
I get older and they stay the same age.
All right. You are a pervert. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you guys next week. Something new. She's a power girl.
Thank you very much.